On a lighter note, this is a cracker. Anybody from this part of the world will know that behind every success story since the dawn of humanity, Derry has found a connection to it, be it the Vikings, the Great Wars. You see where I'm going here, Frank? Bear with me. The Great Wars on planet Earth, the story of literature, the Enlightenment. Take Game of Thrones, for example. Frank Rafferty has a part in it. He's not even from here, but he lives here, and we're claiming him. Frank, good to see you.
Good to see you, Mark.
Did you get the train today from Westeros or Winterfell or whatever you call these places? No.
Just alluding to what Eamon was saying there, I wish to God there had been a decent train service last year when we were filming it. It saved me a fortune staying up in Belfast.
Well, how very interesting, because it's this thing about we go to get the train to go for a nice journey. You're saying that it could have actually made a difference to this emerging film industry here.
Oh, totally. Yeah. You know, there was a lot of people from down this end were working on that last year, and it was impossible to get a train up there. You know, even on a Sunday night, if you were going up to do a bit of filming on the Monday morning, very early, you had to be leaving Derry about 7 o'clock or something.
How many of you made that trip? Do you remember? Was it a sort of a gang of Thrones?
Oh, no, there was. I only did it the one time because I thought I'd rather go up later than that early.
Frank, it was a pinch me moment. Because, I confess, I know nothing about it. The guys had to explain it to me, and I've got a sort of an understanding of this. This is the biggest moment on TV globally last night. There were people in Barcelona talking about it. I was across in Spain yesterday, and they're talking about it. There are people all over the world tweeting about this and all the rest. It's massive.
Well, yeah, I mean, for example, when they were filming a bit of it in Spain last year, there was 86,000 people turned up to be extras on it.
Goodness me.
For the bit that was getting filmed there. And I got on it simply because I was out one night in the bar and somebody came up and handed me a wee card that said, "We love your face." And it wasn't even Halloween.
Oh, Frank. Are you joking?
No, not at all.
You'd be well known here. You have a very distinctive, and you're one of those guys, it could only be you. You present today with a beautiful little grey goatee beard. Your long greying hair is pulled back into a bun, but when you let that go, you become the wild man of Ulster, don't you?
Well, I've sort of got it tied up on top then in case I run into somebody that's looking for an overweight sumo for something.
It's not a bad with hair. Brilliant. Right? Is Boy Mitch in the pub, and that was it?
I was literally stood at the bar shouting for somebody to serve me, and somebody came up and I didn't even get a good look at them, and they shoved a card into my hand, which just said, "We heart your face."
I bet you that's what they do. They just go to pubs and places where people are.
Apparently so, yeah, because they did it to a couple of people that night, and most people were like, "Get away with you, they're probably looking for money if you contact them." So I did contact them and they went, no, come up.
And you're a performance pro, Frank.
Yeah.
You use your voice well. You're a big man as well. So what did they tell you when you arrived?
I went up for a photo shoot. They made me try on the gear once they found something that was big enough for me and said, "Aye, definitely, we'll have you. You know, do you want to be Wildling number 48?
Are you credited in it?
No.
It was a movie.
It's one of those bizarre things. You know, I made the mistake of, on the first day of the filming, you know, looking baffled when an announcement was made for background artists to move towards. I stood there thinking, I'm an extra.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they referred to themselves as background artists, don't you know?
It brings the Ricky Gervais, the extras thing to
mind.
Absolutely. I mean, how true is that? Are there moments when your man, the famous chap, pulls up in a chauffeur-driven chariot, or what happens?
Oh, well, when you're all standing there a bit foundered, although with them big furry things on, it wasn't that bad, you know, being a wildling. But then suddenly onto set would come your man Kit Harington playing Jon Snow. The other giant sort of red-headed Finnish guy, I can't remember his proper name, his character's called Tormund, and somebody would appear beside them with a brolly over their head and walking down to the set. But they were good. They were nice guys, you know.
Yeah.
Because when this thing took off, none of them were famous, shall we say. They were, you know, they were actors by all means, but this took them into another level.
But Frank, it must be funny for you, because I just get the impression you're just doing this for the crack and a few bob. I know guys who do this, and it characterises their life. You know, if you look 30 seconds from the left in the pub scene,
yes,
between 2 seconds, that's me, and they'll get it framed and it becomes their life and their story. I get the sense that you don't
No, I don't.
You don't give it to him.
I thought, hey, you know, why not? You know, they've asked you to be on it, and then somebody, because I hadn't watched it at the time, and somebody said, you know, it's the biggest show in the world at the moment. And I goes, really? Yeah. Oh, okay, I'll go and see what happens with that.
Have you watched it now since then?
Yes, I have. I must admit, since I did the bit of filming last year, I watched, there's four seasons of it.
It's the fifth season, yeah.
And this is the fifth season. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be in this at some point, so I might as well watch it. And last night it all kicked off, and there was Anne, a wee jetty, as they pull into a place called Hardhome. And then I realised that because on the second day they pulled 20 of us out and digitised us, that when it came to the bigger sequences and all these bodies that aren't really there running about, that
it just multiplied.
I'm there as well. And there
I'm
there. I am again.
I'm dead on the left.
Yes.
Frank, what about it? Does it? I don't. Do you, not that you're romanticised anyway, but now that you, I mean, a lot of people walk in and go, "Hey, do you know, I'm a Game of Thrones." It's a thing, right? But when you're looking behind the camera and seeing the burger van and the port-a-louche, does it sort of? Is it like looking behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz?
Not really, because when I went up there, it fascinated me, because this was the biggest set that they've built for this. And the battle scenes, it was the biggest battle that they've had in this show yet. Okay. So I was more interested in the set and what they were doing and, you know, what people were actually up to. Because the people that I felt didn't really get credited was, you know, we were up there some mornings about 4 o'clock, and then they would feed you, and then you would go and get into your costume and makeup and hairdressers
stuff
and all that. And they were all there working very hard to get people out onto that set, as were the guys in the wee vans driving you up onto it.
And was this when the quarry outside Larne, up by...
It is a big, massive... I think it was a super quarry at one point.
Maharamorn.
And they turned that into this place called Hardhome.
Hardhome.
I think they've used it in previous seasons for Castle Black.
There'll be loads of listeners like me who haven't seen it. Anyway, civil war breaks out between several noble families. This is the story. On the fictional continents of Westeros and Essos, the main families are the Starks from the north, them Lannisters, the deposed rulers, and the Targaryens, who were overthrown in another... who were overthrown in another civil war that had occurred before the current one. And then there's this crowd north of the wall.
Yes.
The foundered ones that don't even have a country.
The wildlings, or
that's you.
The free folk.
Are you the worst? Are you the wild ones? Or what?
Well, we just don't like bowing to authority. See, I called myself we there.
Yes.
Because, you know, you fall into these wee sort of things easily. Yes. Yeah. I'm a wildling by nature.
So, Frank, what was it like? Did you get a pizza or whatever? Because there's a little scene where a little boat comes to shore,
yes,
and there are two big hairy halyons standing there, guarding, and one of them's you.
Well, I don't think the woman that was stood beside me would...
Oh, she's a woman.
...would take it too kindly to be called a big hairy halyon.
She's bigger than you, isn't she?
She just looked like that.
But there you are. As if to say, don't mess with us, we're here.
Aye, yes, yes. Oh, you know, everybody was just waiting to get told what to do, and some assistant director came up to me and goes, "You and her, get over there, stand in that jetty," and sort of glower at them as the boat comes in. And I thought, okay, smashing.
And you, Frank, your stance was slightly feet apart and hands slightly out from your sides. You were going, "I've got a bit of presence here. Don't, you know..."
I got into my part. I was actually hissing at him, but you didn't hear that on the telly.
And you might be on next week again.
Well, yeah, I've got an inkling that I might be. You know, I mean, I didn't even know for sure that bit would be on last night. Mm. You know, somebody posted it up on Facebook sent it to me, and then my cousin, who's in America, sent me a thing on Facebook because it had been broadcast the night before there, and they were quite excited.
And do you see the stuff? Are the weapons all like wee plasticky guns, really, or does the stuff, is it impressive?
See the stuff, when you're talking about some of the sort of people that are involved in it, there was a couple of younger fellas who were extras, and you get these swords, and they're made by some boy down near Wicklow, and they're actually steel. So there was a couple of ones that were a bit fanboy about the whole thing, knew everything about it, but seemed a wee bit too into the part. So when everybody had swords, this one fella I remember in particular was running down a hill. Now, this is an old quarry with these swords up at that level, screaming. Despite having been told by everybody, you know, you don't run with them up like that. And he was messing about with them the whole time. So the second day, I think they just sent him home.
You away, fella.
I didn't see him again.
It's gone to your head.
Or maybe the White Walkers got him. Who knows?
So you might be on next week as well?
Possibly. You know, I might have survived.
Ach, Frank.
Or I might be dead.
It's an ignorant question, and please forgive it. But and your money is none of my business. But is it well paid? I'd like to think, sitting at my dotage going, I was in Game of Thrones, I'd like to think that, you know, they throw you a few decent bob.
It's all right.
It's not bad.
Yeah. It's okay, yeah. Given that...
Long day.
It's long days, but, you know, to be honest, it's like, you know, there was two full days been flat out on that. Mm-hmm. There was a few days where, because they had to have that many people there, you know, you were just sat up in a big tent drinking coffee, to be quite honest.
But, you know, Braveheart 3, I don't know, because now you know what it's about, that whole thing. Would you have a go? Would you throw yourself forward for it? Have you got an agent? Harry R. Scotsman, broad-shouldered, can do any...
Well, the good thing about this lot is... They seem quite keen on getting people back, you know, and since I did that, they've been on to me.
Brilliant.
I did a thing, Truth Commissioner, in the Guildhall. They filmed that, and then they asked me, because you can't always fit in with what they want. Mm-hmm. They offered a bit in something called the Frankenstein Chronicles and Line of Duty.
Frank?
It's like, you know, it's all money at the end of the day, right. If you can fit it into your schedule.
Listen, long may your rule in Westeros continue.
Oh, no,
thou mighty man of steel and valour.
We're beyond the wall, not Westeros yet.
I'm going to start watching it early on. Frank, it's lovely to have you.
Okay,
thanks
cheers.
For joining us. Frank Rafferty, Scotsman, of course. Dairyman by adoption, but Frank in the thick of Westeros, north of the wall.